Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got a great guest coming up at the bottom of this hour. His name is Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. You've heard him here before. Jeff and I are going to discuss a highly technical, don't worry, we won't bore you. We'll always keep it interesting. Highly technical, but crucially important Wisconsin Supreme Court decision that came down today, as well as one of the most eyebrow-raising dissents I have ever seen written by Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley. Here on Earth One, I don't know what the hell she's talking about. But right now, we're talking with Lindsay Owen. She's a consumer advocate and executive director of the economic think tank Groundwork Collaborative. Right before the break, Lindsay, we're talking about the idea of trickle up. And if folks aren't familiar with this statistic, I will share it with them now. Since 1981, $51 trillion, trillion, T-R, has trickled up from the bottom 90% of Americans to the top 1%, according to numerous economic studies by independent and objective economists. $51 trillion. The big, brutal bill just catalyzed the largest single wealth transfer on top of the $51 trillion of wealth transfer from us, the bottom 90%, again, to the top 1%. We knew he was going to do tax cuts, Lindsay. Why is this so much worse? And if you can get into a little bit, why is it that wealth always trickles up and never down?
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, President Trump in his first term passed the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, and that was a huge tax benefit for corporations and for the wealthiest Americans as well. And many of those provisions were slated to expire this year. So when Trump was reelected, it was effectively a sure thing that he was going to extend those tax cuts for the wealthy. He was not going to preside over a tax hike for the wealthiest Americans. But I think what has been so astonishing about the bill that passed last week is they went so much further than they did in 2017. The policy is just so much worse. And it's worse in one particular way. It punishes poor and middle-income Americans. So by and large, if you're an American, this bill is going to raise your cost. It's going to raise your healthcare costs. It's going to raise your energy costs. For many Americans, it's going to raise your food costs. That's because it takes away ACA coverage. It takes away Medicaid coverage. It takes away SNAP and food stamps benefits. And it also repeals a host of energy subsidies that were passed in the Biden administration to make certain products for your house less expensive, to make electric vehicles less expensive. So it is really just a brutal combination of a real heyday for the wealthy and a real punishing set of policies for everyone else. To answer your question about trickle up, you know, there's this idea that, you know, really a misguided idea that was never borne out in the data. It was never true, but it became popular nonetheless, that if you did tax cuts for the wealthy or for corporations, somehow that would trickle down to the rest of us. The idea basically being that if companies had to pay less in taxes, they might do better by their workers with the extra money that they weren't sending to Uncle Sam. Of course, that never happened. And actually, the reverse is true. What we find is what companies do with these tax cuts is actually reward each other.
Yes.
They do share buybacks. They do big CEO bonuses. They cut dividend checks to their most, well-off investors. So, you know, by and large, we know historically that these tax cuts actually benefit the wealthy, and any savings that the wealthy get or corporations get from these tax cuts, they actually use to benefit themselves even further.
Yeah, that's the key piece there. The idea of trickle down was based on an assumption that tax cuts would benefit of the wealthiest, tax cuts for the wealthiest and the largest mega corporations would result, frankly, in higher wages. All one has to do is look at any objective economic research over the last 50 years to figure out that that is entirely untrue, which is interesting to me because the underlying premise of all those capitalistic, capitalism-loving folks that promote this idea is that individuals, and by extension corporations, which are answering to their shareholders and no one else, they don't answer to their workers directly, they answer to shareholders, that everybody is a profit-maximizing, heat-seeking freaking missile. So why, by some magical thinking benevolence of the mega corporation owners, would they be like, oh yeah, minimum wage is at 7.25, but of course we'll create more generous benefits. It's bonkers. And the thing that really ticks me off, Lindsay, and I'll ask you this as our last question of the segment. This kind of tax system is terrible for entrepreneurs and small business owners because it places them at an extraordinary disadvantage relative to mega corporations that can survive economic uncertainty, tariffs, all that kind of stuff, because they're operating at such a massive, massive scale. Oh, and they also have bargaining power leverage like you've never seen with their workforce, so they can exploit their workers more. Lindsay, it's bad for small businesses and entrepreneurs as well, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that probably the best example in the bill that was just passed is the repeal of so many of the Inflation Reduction Act provisions around green energy. The big, large oil companies who are also simultaneously making climate investments won't be impacted as much. But new companies who entered the space, trying to get in on the green energy market, trying to make our economy and our climate healthier for generations to come, are really, in trouble right now. You know, back to zero in some instances, because the bets that they made on these new provisions have been completely pulled out from under them.
It's bad for you. It's bad for small businesses. It's bad for working families. It's bad for the poor. Who's it good for? 100 millionaires and mega corporations. It's a big, brutal bill. We're going to take a couple of calls when we come back and talk with Jeff Mandel about the Supreme Court case that I won't recommend you read, but that's very important. Next.